Open your Bible this morning to Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. Exodus chapter 20, and we've been going through the Ten Commandments. And if you've missed some of those in the series and would like to catch up, you can go to arukabaptist.com, and we have all the messages that are in the Ten Commandments series up there. And click on it and listen and get caught up. But Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, very simply says, "Thou shalt not kill." Now, if you would, turn over to Matthew chapter 5. And this is where we're going to spend the remainder of our time this morning. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 21 and 22. Jesus expands our understanding of Exodus 20:13 by saying in verse 21 of Matthew 5, "You've heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca," which that was a word that basically had the idea of empty head, or we might would equate it to moron, but it was a more deeper insult than that. "Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool," and this was like an insult that was like one step further than the other one, "shall be in danger of hellfire." So we see that Jesus expands that "thou shalt not kill" to anger. And he says, if you're angry, then you have already committed a murder. And really, a murder is the root. Anger is the root of a murder. There was an article in last Sunday's Trinidad Express entitled, interestingly enough, "Murder." It revealed that in the past 8 years, 2,500 people have been murdered in Trinidad and Tobago. 544 people were murdered last year, and they estimate that figure will top 600 this year. Now what's interesting is even people who hate the Bible and even people who spurn the Ten Commandments, normally if you were to ask them, is murder wrong? Even though they may not base their life on the Bible, even though they wouldn't adhere to the Ten Commandments, they would tell you, oh yeah, I feel murder is wrong. And yet, mankind is still killing each other. With all of our technology and all of our politics and all of the advancement in civilization, still the Sixth Commandment continues to be an issue. But as Jesus reveals here in Matthew chapter 5, it's even more of an issue than a lot of people think. You see, murder is much deeper than the physical act of murder. And that's why this morning I've entitled the message, "Don't kill with your hands, don't kill with your heart or mouth. Don't kill with your hands, heart, or mouth." And so this morning we're looking at commandment number 6, "Thou shalt not kill." And we're going to see this morning that it goes far beyond just the physical act of murdering someone and can extend to harboring anger and saying hateful things to others. So as we study this morning, and we'll be looking primarily at what Jesus said about commandment number 6 there in Matthew chapter 5, but as we look at that, I would submit to you this morning, you must rid your life of every form of murder. Now, a few things that I need to mention regarding the 6th commandment. I want you to understand this morning, capital punishment, or the death penalty, is not murder. Okay? I mean, when we deal with this, we have to to deal with some of these social issues. I'm always amused when I watch the news or I see where they've decided to impose a death penalty somewhere, and inevitably there are people who oppose it, people who are against enacting the death penalty. And a lot of times these news programs will have people email in and stuff like that. And inevitably, there'll be one person who will say something like this. I don't believe in the death penalty because the Bible says thou shalt not kill. Well, that's interesting because you do realize that the penalty for breaking those commandments, thou shalt not kill, was that that person would be put to death. That's how it was in Exodus. The penalty was for breaking the sixth commandment was they stoned you to death. Okay? So you're entitled to whatever opinion you want to have regarding capital punishment. Okay? But if you're against capital punishment, the Bible is probably not the book for you to be quoting to back up your position. All right? The Bible even tells us in Romans chapter 13 that they that bear the sword, rulers, that they're not a terror to good works, and that they bear not even the sword in vain. So Romans 13 shows that capital punishment, or the death penalty, is adequate and is to be used in government to deter the sinful nature of man. Now, another thing I want to mention. Often people ask about, well, what about war? What about, you know, policemen who kill someone when they're protecting some innocent person if they shoot a criminal or whatever in order to save life? Is that murder? Well, soldiers fighting in a just war aren't violating the sixth commandment. If you have any doubts about that, look at the book of Joshua, and you'll see that the Israelites went to war with those people that were in the promised land, those who opposed God, those who were there in the land. And you see that they were commanded to go in and wipe out these cities. And I believe that today when countries and young men go out to fight against some of the atrocities in the world, people like Hitler, people like Hussein, you know, all those crazy dictators' names start with an H. You ever thought about that, Pastor Eric? Eric Castle. But when soldiers go out to fight in a war like that, they are not breaking the sixth commandment. I'm not saying every war is justified, okay? We understand that many wars are fought for selfish reasons, and of course in that area that would be wrong. But the sixth commandment is not the place to go when talking about things like that. I want you to understand it's talking about a murder, okay? A person killing another person. So as we look at this, as we look at ridding our life of every form of murder, let's first of all talk about murder with the hand. I think there is a danger for people to, like us, right? We're all sitting in church this morning. We're good church-going folk. And I notice many commentators, when they talk about the sixth commandment, they kind of hop right over the fact that we shouldn't kill and move on to talk about anger. But I want you to understand that's a danger. We need to understand this morning that every single one of us has the capacity within us to kill somebody. And we need to understand that that is the first and foremost meaning behind that commandment when it says, thou shalt not kill. The actual physical act of murder. And so I think we need to be careful not to gloss over it and just make it a sermon about anger. I think we need to understand that to take another man's life is wrong. And it is horrible to God. And we need to remind ourselves that except for the grace of God in our life, we could do that. And by the way, that's why it's important that you and I stay close to God. That's why it's important that we pray and read our Bible, so that we make sure that we don't murder with our hands. I came across this little piece of advice, and I thought it was good. He said, when you get really angry, stick your hands in your pocket. You know, many times, that is where murder comes from. That anger that boils up inside of a person expresses itself in the hands. And many times, murders are the crimes of passion. In fact, I was looking at some statistics, and a few of the cities that I looked at said that more often than not, the murders that took place were not premeditated, but people got angry, and then it led to murder. So it might be some good advice this morning. When you get really angry, put your hands in your pocket. So understand this morning, we're not to commit murder with our hands. But perhaps you've never really seen yourself as being tempted to do that. Maybe you feel that that would never be an issue with you. And maybe that makes you feel a little righteous. Well, if that's your condition this morning, then I'm afraid to tell you that your self-righteous feeling is very much like the people that Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 5. Verse 21, he talks about, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." So aside from actual murder with our hands, Jesus expands it and says that we can commit murder with our heart. He says, "I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." Philip Henry said this, "When anger was in Cain's heart, murder was not far off." You get that? When anger was in Cain's heart, murder was not far off. It starts with anger. And that's why Jesus says that if you're angry, you've already murdered somebody, because anger is the seed of murder. Now, I want you to understand, anger in itself is not wrong. There is such a thing as a righteous anger. When we are angry against sin, it's lawful, it's right. God is angry with the wicked in Psalm 7, verse 11. Jesus looked on the Pharisees with anger in Mark chapter 3, verse 5. Ephesians 4, 26 tells us to be angry and to sin not. So there is an anger that is right, but what is condemned here by Jesus Christ is an anger without cause, an anger that is unjust, rash, and hastily put into action. It's an anger where no offense has been given or intended that lashes out. In that case, according to Christ, it is evil. Now you might look at that verse and you might say, well, I'm off the hook because it's just my brother, so, and I'm an only child, so I'm not an only child. I have one brother I have to keep from killing Pastor Eric or being angry with. But this word extends beyond just a family kind of thing. It even goes beyond just a spiritual sense. You know, those who are saved in church call each other brothers and sisters in Christ. That's not the idea behind this word. But really, this word goes all the way back to that we are all created, and all of us have God as our Father in the sense of creation, and therefore every man is our brother. So this command that Jesus has given extends to every man, woman, boy, and girl. If we're angry at anybody without cause, then Jesus Christ says it is sin. Warren Wiersbe comments on this. He says, "Anger is such a foolish thing. It makes us destroyers instead of builders. It robs us of freedom and makes us prisoners. To hate someone is to commit murder in our hearts." And you might want to jot this passage down. 1 John chapter 3:15 says exactly that. "He that hateth his brother is a murderer." Now I know some would say, well, if Jesus says that being angry with someone is just as bad as killing them, then probably I should just go ahead and kill them, right? Because that's one and the same. No. It doesn't mean we should go ahead and murder someone that we hate, since we've already sinned in our hearts against them. Sinful feelings are not excuses for sinful deeds, right? The anger that we harbor in our heart will cost us fellowship with God as well as with other people. But you actually commit the act, That's going to cost you time in jail. So I want you to understand there's a difference between just harboring anger and actually going through with the act. But there's been many people who have become murderers because of that anger that they harbored in their heart. So make sure that you don't allow your heart to become a place where anger resides, or else it may grow in your heart and move on to your hand. Anger is offensive to God. He is righteous, He's holy. So it's beyond just killing someone, right? If we're even angry, that offends our righteous, holy God. But aside from His anger, I want you to think about this morning how destructive anger is to us when we harbor anger in our heart. Anger, if it's allowed to grow and to churn and to boil inside your heart, it'll enslave you and it'll destroy you. Listen to this story. Once upon a time, there was a horse that had the whole plain to himself. He enjoyed being the only animal there on the field for a long time until one day, a stag, a deer, intruded into his domain and shared his pasture. Well, the horse, desiring revenge on the stranger, asked a man if he would be willing to help him in punishing the stag. The man replied that if the horse would simply put a bit in his mouth and agree to carry him, that he would contrive effective weapons against the stag. The horse consented, as the story goes, and allowed the man to mount him. From that hour, he found that instead of obtaining revenge on the stag, he had enslaved himself to the service of man. That's an interesting little folktale, little story. But I think it illustrates what anger does and what revenge and bitterness does in our lives. We think that we're destroying the person that has wronged us, but in truth, what it does is that it enslaves us to that anger. Don't allow the spirit of anger or revenge to reside in your heart. Don't murder with the heart. And then lastly this morning, Jesus goes on to say, "And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire." And as I've already said this morning, that word Raca had the idea of empty head. That's the direct translation. Maybe the same idea as when we say that someone's a moron, or we call someone an idiot. But it had a much deeper kind of insult tagged along with it. I was talking about with Sister Marie last night about the meaning of the word, and she came up with this, and I thought it probably hit the nail right on the head. It's equivalent to the idea, have you ever heard somebody say to someone else, drop dead? That's basically what the term Raca has the idea of. In other words, this is what it means when we use that kind of language. Basically what we're saying, and I know this is difficult, because how many times in traffic someone cuts me off or does something? I was glad this morning, you know, the van is in the shop, so Pastor Eric had to drive this morning, which saved me a little bit of guilt in preaching this sermon. But how many times in traffic someone cuts you off and you say, you stupid, you idiot. I mean, in effect, what we're saying when we say that is that you have nothing to contribute to this world, and so therefore you really shouldn't be alive. I wish you weren't in my way. I mean, that's what we mean when we say, I mean, now maybe we don't carry it out to really wishing that person were dead, but in that moment, when that thing just flies out of our mouth and we say that, I think honestly, in effect, that's what we're saying. You don't have anything to offer, and I'm upset that you're even breathing the same air that I'm breathing. In effect, we're saying, I wish you were dead. Jesus says if we have that kind of thought process and we say those kind of things, then we indeed are guilty of murder. Now you notice he then goes on to say, and whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Well, that should concern us, right? If you're like me, that should concern you, because I know that I have times in my life where people do things, and I say things very similar to raca or fool. And now we hear that the people that do that are in danger of hellfire. Sister Marie, got to keep them kids under control. But let's not call them morons or idiots, amen? If it says that they're in danger of hellfire, you know, when you first read that, it's like, well, does that mean we can lose our salvation? Does that mean this is such a great offense to God that if I, you know, tell somebody off or have anger or say that kind of thing to them, that I'm in danger of hellfire, that I'll go to hell for that? I want you to understand that the audience that Jesus was speaking to and what he was trying to drive home to these people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious elite of that day thought that they were righteous. They thought that in God's eyes they were holy. They thought that they had arrived, if you will. And they thought this based on their interpretation of God's law. They would say, well, you know, I've never actually put my hands around somebody's neck and choked the life out of them. Therefore, I'm a good person, you know. And they would think to themselves, you know, I've never actually cheated on my spouse. I mean, now, I've sure looked with lust many of times, but I've never actually done the act, so that makes me a good person, right? And what Jesus was showing to them is that, no, if you've lusted, that's just like the adultery, and if you've hated, that's just like the murder. He was showing them their sinfulness before God. And my friend, listen, this morning, if you're trusting your works, if you're trusting your righteousness to take you to heaven, and you say those kind of things, and you have anger toward other people, then you are in danger of hellfire. But thank God this morning, we don't have to rely on our righteousness to take us to heaven. That's why Jesus Christ died on the cross. And if you are trusting Christ as your Savior, then He's taking the punishment for every time you've hated somebody, every time you, in effect, looked at someone and said, drop dead, or any time you've harbored that anger in your heart. He's taken the hellfire for that sin. So I want you to understand this morning what Jesus is showing. It should awaken in us, as we look at the Ten Commandments, it should awaken in us and help us realize just how wicked and just how sinful we are, and that should drive us to Jesus Christ. But don't misinterpret that verse as saying that we can lose our salvation. Rather, take it to heart and understand how we need to be careful the things that we say. We need to guard our mouth. And I came across this thought, and I just wanted to say it because I know that in my own life, I'm tempted to have problems with this. And if I'm tempted with it, there may be others here that are too. Listen to what this author says. He says, hurling humor, like hand grenades, is a popular sport. We think it's acceptable to pull the pin on our anger as long as we toss it in a casing of humor. The problem is it's still explosive and still ends up hurting people. How many times have you heard or said, oh, I was only kidding? If we have to defend our humor regularly, in other words, if you say hurtful things, which people are like, hey, why'd you say that? And you have to constantly say, oh, I was just kidding. Oh, I was just kidding. He says, if we have to defend our humor regularly, chances are we're not as funny as we think. A good humor rule is if it hurts someone, it isn't funny. Just because people are laughing doesn't mean we said what was appropriate. Don't use humor as a hideout from tender, honest relationships. A healthy sense of humor is a precious gift intended to promote the good news, good health, and goodwill. So make sure the things that you say aren't mean and hateful, even if you throw it in a humorous way. Make sure that your mouth is not committing murder. And listen to what Charles Ashcraft said. He says, any person who can make his opponent lose his temper can defeat him, whether it be in an athletic contest, debate, or personal encounter. Listen to this. A guide who was commenting on the height of a mountain range in South America made this statement about a certain jagged volcanic mountain. So you understand, he looks at this mountain, and he makes this statement about this jagged volcanic mountain. The guide said to the tourist, this would have been our tallest mountain if it had not blown its top. Now think about that. This would have been our tallest mountain if it hadn't blown its top. And you know, I believe as individuals, many times, we sacrifice the greatness that God has for our lives because we cannot control our temper, because we cannot keep our anger in check, and therefore we can't be everything that God wants us to be. Don't commit murder this morning with your hands, with your heart, or with your mouth. One last illustration, I'll be done this morning. This is from a 1994 article entitled War's Lethal Leftovers Threaten Europeans. The Associated Press reporter Christopher Burns writes, the bombs of World War II, okay, this is in 1994 he writes this, World War II ended in the 40s, the bombs of World War II are still killing in Europe. They turn up and sometimes blow up at construction sites, in fishing nets, or on beaches 50 years after the guns fell silent. Hundreds of tons of explosives are recovered every year in France alone. 13 old bombs exploded in France last year, killing 12 people and wounding 11. These are bombs from 50 years ago, you understand? Killing people in current times. I've lost two of my colleagues, said Yvonne Bouvet, who heads a government team in the Champagne-Ardennes region that diffuses explosives from both World War I and II. He said, unexploded bombs become more dangerous with time. With corrosion inside, the weapon becomes more unstable and the detonator can be exposed. Now what's interesting is, what is true of those unexploded bombs is true of the seeds of anger that we allow to plant themselves in our heart and to stay there undiffused. As time goes on, sooner or later, that bomb is going to detonate. And there's going to be people maimed and people even murdered in the wake of those seeds of anger that we allow to go unchecked in our lives. I hope this morning that as you think about the Sixth Commandment, that you'll understand just how deep it goes. That you'll understand that, yes, it does involve not killing with your hands, not picking up a gun and shooting someone or picking up a cutlass and chopping someone. Yeah, it does involve that. Don't murder with your hands. But Jesus says it goes even deeper than that. Don't harbor anger in your heart. He says that's just like committing murder. That is just as vile and just as offensive to God. And then don't commit murder with your mouth. Don't allow hateful, mean things to come out of your mouth, no matter how you spin it. Because Jesus says when we do that, we have, in effect, committed murder with our mouth. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning.